How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Paul. Good to see you.
Hey, bro. It's been a long time since we've done one of these, huh?
It has, and I'm glad that a couple people told me they miss these podcasts, so which inspired us to start doing these again.
Yeah, I can't believe people actually listen, but hey, wonderful.
We'll take it.
Hey, I want to jump into a story real quick.
Sure.
And way back when I was in college, just had my first car. It was a VW Bug, 1976, sunroof. And that thing just came with so many problems, wiring, and the motor was always breaking down. And I'd take it around to different mechanics, and I could just sort of intuitively tell that they were thinking, I could really rip this kid off, you know, and how did I know what kind of price is, and I had no idea.
When they say your solenoid is busted, you go, okay.
Yeah, like your water-cooled muffler bearing needs help here. And I didn't know what that was. So finally I took the car into this mechanic on Walnut Street in Pasadena. And the guy brings the car in. He's really friendly. And even to this day, I remember his name is Joel.
Okay.
And he turned out to be Mormon, actually, but he had a Book of Mormon there along with the Bible. And his
Mormons are nice people.
They are nice. And he's like, hey, I'll take a look at it. And so later I came back and he said, hey, I fixed it for you. He goes, here's the broken part. And he said, this is what I did. He opened it up. He showed me what he did. And he said, hey, if you start hearing the sound anymore, just come back and let me know. He goes, if you have any more trouble with this, bring it back. I'll take care of it for free. And he gave me a very low price on it. So I was hooked. It's like from that point forward, for the next 12 years I lived in that area, I would not take my car to anyone else.
Wow.
It had to be him. You know, I was like this loyal customer, right? And I had other cars and things, and any trouble, I always only went to him. And I've thought about that since and realized, wow, so much of the working world is more about relational skills. It's about how you relate to people more than the actual skill.
Wow.
And I thought, all a mechanic needs is to really have good relational skills and be able to get people to trust him. And if he can just do that, he's got endless business. Because there are so few mechanics that have that, right? I mean, we've been into so many shops and see how people relate to us. It's just, it's just icy cold, right?
Right. They have the skills, but they don't have that personal touch.
That's right. So what we want to talk about today is sort of how this works in our lives and how leadership and success at work and accomplishing our goals in life has so much to do with what we call soft skills as opposed to the hard skills. Can you just...
Sure. So we are excited about starting a new series today on the Faith Activators podcast on emotional intelligence. And as Paul mentioned in that beginning story, just how important the soft skills are of human touch and empathy and self-awareness. And what we want to do is draw heavily from the writings of a man named Daniel Goleman, who kind of pioneered this concept, coined this phrase, emotional intelligence. And Paul and I have both been really stirred by a book he wrote called Working with Emotional Intelligence, which really unpacks these categories. And so what we want to do in today's podcast is kind of just give an overview of what emotional intelligence is. And then the following podcasts kind of look at these five categories of different types of emotional intelligence. And why we see it so important is you can see as spiritual leaders how important it is to have a high emotional intelligence. And sometimes you think, a leader just needs vision. They need, have a strong walk with the Lord, a prayer life. And those are all really important. But what Daniel Goleman found in across all companies is that the people with the highest emotional intelligence consistently outperform people with the same IQ and the same set of technical skills. So in other words, to get in the door of a company, you have to have a certain IQ and a certain set of technical skills. Say you're an engineer. You've got to have, you've got to be able to remember a series of numbers, have an above average IQ. You have to, the technical skills of all the the mathematics. But then the people who have a high EQ are going to become star performers, are going to, on average, outperform their peers by 20%. And he looked at 188 companies and studied them and try to find out what's the secret sauce in these star performers. And again, the intelligence the same, technical skills the same, it's the emotional intelligence. And what he also came to a stunning conclusion that for long-term success, emotional intelligence is actually twice as important as IQ and technical skills. So it's just astounding. And what Paul and I want to try to do is kind of bring this into the world of spiritual leadership, because what we see a lot is maybe Christians don't really pay a lot of attention to kind of the emotional realm. We think in terms of correct belief and correct behavior, and we don't really think of, we kind of ignore these soft skills and emotional intelligence, much to our detriment. So you can have a brilliant pastor. He is, you know, he can preach eloquently. He can really get into the word, and he can't really relate to people that well. So that is going to stunt his spiritual growth and his effectiveness.
Now, the question that I have, Mike, is what if someone is just thinking, well, I'm introverted, I'm not a people person, I just wasn't born with a lot of these soft skills, and it's just too bad, because, you know, that's fine what you're saying. People that have these relational abilities, sort of more of these intuitive abilities,
yeah,
are going to be more effective than I am, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And so how someone who feels introverted, how can they grow in emotional intelligence? Well, let me lay out the categories, because it's not all just about being a schmoozer. And they're really, you know, as you hear these categories, some of them are very close to a list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. So this is not too far away from what you think of values that you want to emulate. So I'll just lay out the categories here. The first is self-awareness, and then there's self-regulation. And again, in later podcasts, we're going to unpack all of these. Motivation, someone is highly motivated. Empathy, you know, and that would be a sensitivity to people. And then finally, social skills. So maybe the last one is more like persuasiveness would be important. But Paul, why don't you answer your own question? Because I've seen you know, and you and I are good friends, and we're on the opposite ends of the extrovert-introvert scale. And you've had to grow.
So in other words, what you're saying, Mike, is that I have about as much personality as a bump on a log.
Not at all. But sometimes you would rather be a bump on a log than be in a forest of croaking frogs.
No, it's actually true, and I admit it.
Yeah.
And actually, knowing this about myself, I think, you know, it actually helps people to relax around me. When I was much younger, I didn't like to believe this about myself. You know, I wanted to be all things to all people.
Right.
And to impress everybody. And everybody could feel that around me. And I think it just came across as really stiff. But I think I've come a long way since I've started realizing my limitations and really recognizing who I am.
So you've made a conscious choice to grow. I mean, you may not have called it that, but as a leader, you know, you would be much happier reading a book by yourself.
If I was left just to my nature,
yeah,
I'd be by myself every day. I'd be thinking about philosophy, and I'd be reading books, and, you know, and very rarely working with teams or.
And here you are. You're in meetings all day long with people, and you've got a thriving team, and
I'm with people all day.
So you've made a conscious, like, did you ever think in that terms of emotional intelligence, or you just kind of picked this up along the way?
No, I've picked it up, and learning about the concepts, though, and seeing it defined the way that this writer does has been very helpful. And I see this, though, because I lead an organization with around, I don't know, over 100 staff probably now, and I don't know everyone really closely. I personally work with a small group, around 12 to 15 people that I relate to. And so there's something about me that when I walk across campus or, you know, just see someone, I often strike fear in people. There's a Javanese word that they use, like, I think it's sunkun or something like that. where they just get really shy.
Sometimes they just kind of back away.
There's something about me that sort of intimidates, and I hate that about myself, to be honest with you. I mean, I sort of see myself as a big teddy bear, you know, and really, I genuinely love people. I care about people, but somehow I can't communicate that. It's hard to just project what I'm actually thinking and feeling for people around me, and what they're getting is more of a cold exterior. And so I have tried to consciously work on this and work on how I'm projecting myself to people.
And that's what we want to camp on, is that the good news is in emotional intelligence is that something you can grow in, whereas your IQ stays static over your lifetime. You could try really hard to remember a bigger series of numbers, but you're not going to get that far, you know. But emotional intelligence, the sky's the limit. You can consciously say, I want to become more emotionally intelligent in these areas. And so the takeaway as you're saying that is you didn't just say, you know what, that's just the way I am, that's my personality, deal with it, world. You said, you know what, to be effective, I'm going to have to like smile more. You know, I'm going to have to, I'm going to have people, it's important how people feel around me. That's not just insignificant. And, you know, you see so many times in churches where there's a church split or there's tension, there's a dysfunction on a team. And a lot of times you can just trace it back to the leaders having a very low degree of emotional intelligence. You know, it's not the theology, it's not the principles, it's just basic human interaction. So to me, that's really encouraging that when I read this book, and I actually took a test, an emotional intelligence test, it was very insightful of ways that I can improve. And so I'm going, I want to be a more effective leader. I don't want to just say, that's just the way I am.
I took the emotional intelligence test as well. Okay. And I scored a 65 out of 100. What was your score, Mike? I'm just kidding.
It more shows you where you're out of balance. And my wife thought this was funny. I had a very, very high score on optimism and a very low score on reality testing. It's just like reality testing is a little low.
She thought that was funny.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, can we do it? Sure, we can do it. Well, did you calculate to see how much it's going to cost? Did you? Oh, I forgot to do that part.
Yeah. And you know, this isn't just about people skills in terms of personality. You know, for example, the second one we're going to look at is self-regulation. And the more I think about that, the more I realize how true it is, because when someone is impulsive or makes a bad decision, what happens? Or, you know, we do these things, sometimes we break trust, and then the people around us quietly start thinking, I cannot trust this person. And so that's a big part of leadership breaking down as well. I mean, leadership is built on trust.
Right.
The people around you need to trust you. And so that's, you know, the soft skills are pretty rich. These are very deep concepts.
Very. And in the corporate world, until Daniel Goleman came up with these, you know, these concepts, they kind of ignored this. They just thought, you know, a guy comes in and the manager's not thinking, does this guy have high EQ? He's looking at, you know, his intelligence and the way he comes across the table and maybe his past experience. And now corporations are starting to say, oh, this is really important, because you might have a brilliant guy, but like you said, he's impulsive and he has an outburst of anger. And so that is going to cap his potential in that organization, or it's going to cause damage. So it's super, super important. And then how much more in the world of where we're, you know, trying to advance the kingdom of God. And you might have a great, like I said, quiet time, and you have a great insight into the word, and you have all this, you know, you've memorized all these principles, but you're impulsive and you can't, you know, these harsh words come out of your mouth, and that's going to sabotage your spiritual leadership.
You know, even in the National Football League, they're moving in this direction. And I just read an article recently about teams that are looking for free agents and bringing, you know, signing big contracts. And they're not just looking at how fast they run, how many sacks they had, or how many catches they made, but they're actually wondering, are they team players? Are these people going to come in and strengthen the team and be a glue person to the team? Are they going to be a foundational player for us? Or are they going to come in and, in spite of their talent, going to break things apart because of their attitude? And it used to be the attitude didn't matter so much. The coaches were just looking for the stats, you know, the numbers. But now it's pretty hard for a divisive player to get a position on a team anymore.
That's fascinating. Well, I just want to close on one point here as we bring this to a close, and then next week we'll go into these different categories. Is, you know, Jesus had a very high level of emotional intelligence. As you look at all these categories, and you know, where Daniel Goleman would say self-regulation, we would say self-control. Where he would say motivation, we would say passion. You know, so our goal is to become more like Jesus. And an immature person would say, I want to become more like myself. And a mature person would say, I want to become more like Jesus. And I see that he had a high EQ. And I see that this is something I can work on. So we're hopeful that in these podcasts that these will inspire and challenge you to say, you know what, I've got some room to improve here. I really want to grow in these areas. I see ways of maybe in one category, maybe you're strong in four categories. In one category, you're really weak in, and that's really a detriment to your team, to your family. And that's something you can say, oh, Lord, I really want to grow in this one area because I want to be more like you.
Hey, well, let me say a word of prayer and we'll
sure.
close this up.
That sounds great.
And we'll talk again next week.
Okay.
Lord, thank you so much for bringing these concepts to us. And as we share them with others through this podcast, I pray, Lord, that they would benefit people and that those who are listening would really think about these concepts so that we would, in a greater way, by you with our lives and with our influence on us, your kingdom be advanced across this world through us and how we live, not only what we believe and not only what skills we have, but how we relate to others. And we pray that you'd be honored and glorified through these next few weeks as we talk. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. And just a little encouragement, if you enjoy these podcasts, if you could let your friends know, we're on the iTunes store, or you can find these on our blog, Faith Activators. Thanks for listening. God bless you and have a great day.